A lot of people aren't voting. Millions of people smoke marijuana. And they don't like to vote. And there might be like 50, 60 million in the U.S. alone, a lot of whom do not like government, do not like police. They're afraid. They're not paranoid. They just are afraid. And they think that all the governments are against them. They don't vote. And I think this should be remembered at least once every election.
Yeah. I think the majority of people don't participate in elections because they have no relationship to the real sources of our problems. So look at these poor Eastern European people who believe in democracy, believe in that legislative 19th century structure, and we got to put up with another 50 years of coverage about how they're discovering and learning to do it, and it's nowhere near what we need to do.
I'm really worried about them.
Yeah.
There are also people who wouldn't vote along where we live. Non-Italians were not enumerated.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Was that a conspiracy?
I don't know. It's very ethnic and...
Well, I just think you should cut...
Owned.
Since language is obsolete, you know, cut down your vocabulary to a couple of words, maybe 10 words, and two of them would be media ecology, and use a couple of verbs around that. We should speak very sparsely now. We should become a mass-oriented secret society talking in code that we're willing to reveal.
Well, my very own wife suggested that we might go vote NDP as a protest.
Before the election.
But then she was afraid we would have to go and get registered, and they might find out who we voted for.
Right. I agree with her. Okay, we got to take another call.
Okay.
Call back. Thanks a lot.
Bye now.
Bye.
Hang up and try your call again. Please hang up.
Scott hung up.
This is a recording.
What was that message about Scott that he was live? Oh, okay. What time is it, Ken? Okay, well, I just wanted to say that in 2 weeks, September 26th, we're going to have the awesome interview with the Exus about the conspiracy of visual space. That'll be broadcast about 5 after 2 after the Subgenius show, and Kent will be featuring that. Tonight on Kent's show, we got Skolnick as usual, Sherman Skolnick, and then we have Frank Zappa on censorship and a whole bunch of other stuff. So if you're still awake, we got some good stuff coming up all night long tonight. Okay, we have another caller?
Yeah, it's CKLN.
Hi.
Okay, Scott.
Sorry about hanging up.
That's okay.
Got lost in a fit of panic. Okay, wow, what a hot show.
You like this?
What?
Do you like the fact that we give callers a time to spell out what they're concerned?
When I was thinking about you giving callers, like, real time.
Yeah.
Real time, and I was thinking of Kent and Michael as, like, your left and right-hand paths. Right?
Yeah, right, that's right. Yeah, tonight people have something to say, so Mike's not here because he advocates the 5-minute slot, right?
Yeah, and if we fall flat on our faces, well...
Yeah, you don't get
then
a chance.
Then we'll just have to balance it off in the next couple of weeks and then try it around again.
Yeah, I like the fact that people can talk for a while. It may be boring for people, but I think people need to experience being discarnate. It's like having your own show. If you can talk on Bob's show for 15 minutes, that'll give you a sense of what it's like to be a programmer. And that's good for people to feel that.
So we have your right and left-hand path. We also have your voice in the wilderness, Dublin. It was such a pleasure hearing him tonight. But I had to comment on, you know how he was talking about... bobbleizing all the military projects?
Yeah.
I can't remember quite the phrase.
Bobble. To bobble. Bobble.
Yeah. The UN bobbled all those military complexes and then would not tolerate progress.
Yeah.
And that got me to thinking back on Lyndon LaRouche and his art form where he was saying MK Ultra wouldn't tolerate progress among the American people.
Yeah.
That's why Tim Leary got in business.
That's right.
Yeah,
LaRouche has exposed, if that's true what LaRouche is saying, then he's done a great service in exposing the Tim Leary agenda that involves Aldous Huxley, Krishnamurti, the Aquarian Conspiracy, Local Dimensions magazine. All these things spin off from that LaRouche point of view. It's certainly a point of view that should be allowed to be said articulately like he does in the media, in the public dialogue, though I don't think LaRouche is aware of the McLuhan problem of the... media ecology we're talking about, right?
But you consistently refer to him as an artist.
Yeah.
Does he come up against, well, you recognize his shortcomings. Does he not recognize that our society will not tolerate open debates? Or?
Yeah, he knows that, but he's running for Congress right now during the American elections this fall from his jail cell. The guy just will, what's that old maxim all the great artists tell you? Pick your art and stick with it and don't give up. Well, he never gives up, so you got to admire him that. And I don't think that he's narrow-minded because of that, because if you become too fetishistic about your personal goal, you can lose sight of the larger slack, right? And Krishnamurti, LaRouche has a lot of slack, as indicated in Bob Marshall's interview with him. Is despite his continuity and what he's been doing for 30 years, he still is a live child. Not many people might find that hard to believe, but it's right there. I mean, you take Kent here. Kent listened to the interview. He was very interested in the effect it had, and he got more interested in LaRouche.
Well, again, I've talked to you about this privately, but I was thumbing through the latest issue of Covert Action Information Bulletin. I don't know what faction they're associated with, but again, they were calling LaRouche a neo-fascist without substantiating it at all.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't know. I look for evidence. I hate to see people slandered, and I can't find it internally. As no the media like toes that line that he is. And
you can read a book by I guess Covert Action's friend Dennis King. It's called Lyndon LaRouche and the Rise of American Fascism. You read that book, you'll probably believe that he is a fascist the way the book's put together. But if you know that language is obsolete, then what someone says is a small part of what the life is.
Label the hang on you.
Yeah, but it's like if you know what someone says and you put it into a category, then you're missing your ability to play with the categories. You believe in your categories and you're reacting to LaRouche. If you read LaRouche's stuff, I don't know if there's any basis in reality for it, but he certainly makes it interesting. He certainly is playful with visual space.
Yeah, exactly. It's a self-contained system.
Yeah, and he seems to be aware of that, and he writes it in his accomplished essays that you can get at the Metro Library. He writes about putting on the time, the zeitgeist, and I think that the Covert Action doesn't put on their socialist myth very playfully, and that's maybe where they're blind. They're a very good information source, but when they see... They project their own discipline on someone else, and they don't like to see discipline in someone else. They think they got the discipline. but I don't think you need to worry about what people think about anything, because no one's listening to you anyways.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want to do. You've got autonomy. Nobody cares. Nobody cares as long as you perform the little tasks that they've assigned you.
Yeah.
And that's our anarchy we live in. It's nihilism incarnate. And if we can communicate beyond our personal goals, our personal wishes, our personal dreams, or hallucinations by a simple code like Bob or Media Ecology, and just say that when you're asked to be public, when you're asked to use your public awareness, say that. And we've got an Esperanto going, a collective ESP that we can work with. I mean, that's what the cults try to do. But our cult is flexible. That's right. We can use Media Ecology, and then if they respond to it, then we'll start talking about something that they never even understood was related to Media Ecology, like LaRouche, or we can talk about cosmic awareness, or we can talk about Phineas Wake. You know, the longer they listen to you, then you juggle their brains.
Yeah. And, speaking of cosmic awareness, yeah, I checked out that most recent Hype magazine.
Yeah, you saw that?
Yeah,
picked
it up.
You saw Connie's picture there?
Yeah. Can I give her an endorsement? It says that she's going to be on the Dini Petty Show September 21st.
Yeah, all those people who want to know what Connie looks like, they can see her on the Dini Petty Show. Can you believe that? Bob Dobbs' wife.
No kidding. I don't know about that show. I guess it's not a phone-in show, huh?
No, but there's an audience. They ask questions, I think.
I've never seen it myself, but I've known some people that have gone under the grill, apparently.
That's Dini Petty, September 21st, Friday.
She is programmed. She's tough.
Yeah. Did you see, did you read my interview in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, does it make any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, Bob, but you know, it takes me a while to digest mentally.
Well, then that gives you time. You see, I'm trying to fill... great.
Slow down.
No, you could never start reading it, and you can never finish it, so don't worry. Though, you know, it's like...
Yeah, seriously, I mean, it frees me from having to read literature. I mean...
Yeah, and you can still use your eyes.
Yeah.
By looking at it.
It's the first and last, right?
Yeah, you'll never start reading it, and you'll never finish it.
No one else's fiction. I mean, I pick up Finnegan's Wake, and it's so beautiful. I mean, it's so sensual.
It's ecstatic.
And just before that, you know what I was wasting my time on? Gravity's Rainbow. And I'm thinking, this is obscene. And all of a sudden I get this greenery and this sensuality.
And all these so-called writers pumping out English content constantly. And they haven't even got to step one, which was done, if you notice the dates, 1922 to 1939, Finnegan's Wake was presented to the public.
So anyways, again, it was a pleasure. I'm going to fumble around for a tape because I really want the Skolnick and stuff.
Yeah, we got some good stuff coming up. I recommend you tape till 4 o'clock. We've got some very valuable stuff coming up if Kent lets it on. Okay, Scott, thanks.
Salut.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Scott.
What's the time? Kent's looking to communicate to me the time. He's turning the clock around. Okay, so if there's one more caller, otherwise we've got to wrap it up, right, Kit? Okay, I got about, I think, let's let the tape, the church hymn run for about 3 or 4 songs. Now, the point of the church hymn, the Tai Chi Yoga hymn we present at the end of the show, is not that we value the music, that it's important, but I like to think that certain kinds of moods are created by the show and the different callers, and then whatever your mood you've been programmed into by this show, juxtapose that with the effect of hearing this music. This music doesn't have any ideological motive. It's just juxtapose the mood you're in now with the effect of the music we put on as a hymn and feel the effects and contemplate them. So you've got the right tape, Kent. It's the brown one. Let me just see. Should be side two. Yeah, side two of that tape. Since we've got a few minutes, let's have some slack, and I'll hear several songs and study the effects of the moods of these songs in relation to the mood you're already in. Thanks, Kent. Yellow, black, white, and brown, with a tear up their heart.
Ray Memory encouraging all of you to stay tuned to CKLN 88.1 in Toronto, community radio serving the greater Toronto community.
Hi, Sherman Skralnick, Citizens Committee to Clean Up the Courts, 9800 Oglesby. A series of scandals could wipe out the Bush White House. One mess involves the CIA, the Mafia, and the savings and loans. Some 25 SNLs were quietly taken over by CIA and used as a money machine for CIA dirty tricks and for laundering dope and gun-running loot. One of those is in Denver and was run by Neil Bush, son of the president, who formerly headed CIA. Neil reportedly had business links to known reputed CIA assassins and gangsters. The Houston Post has been the only sizable U.S. newspaper which has run a series on this by Peter Bruton.
Very few of the national press media have done any investigative reporting on the savings and loan scandal, much less, you know, organized crime involvement, much less the involvement of the CIA. So you got to start with that. I think there's a number of reasons they haven't done anything about savings and loans. One, the scandals that occurred in savings and loans occurred primarily in Texas, in California, some other states where they're, you know, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post are not located there. It happened.
Some believe, however, that the White House invoked a national security news blackout. Banks also have been used for CIA and Mafia dirty business, including the Continental and Harris Banks and Amalgamated Trust and Savings Bank, all headquartered in Chicago.
They knew what was going on. The people out in the field, both state and federal, but when they tried to report this to their superiors, it got stopped at a very high level in the bureaucracy that was influenced by politicians. I mean, I just can't conceive of Neil Bush entering into these close business relationships with these people without consulting his father. I mean, his father was vice president when he entered into these things, and I just really believe he would have asked his father. No one has asked him that, and no one's asked George Bush that. And one of the biggest owners, biggest stockholders and directors of Indian Springs State Bank was Farhad Azima, an Iranian native who had a very large private airline company called Global International Airways that was performing work for the CIA on a contract basis. And Azima was being investigated by the Department of Justice and the Department of Treasury, the IRS, when they were told by the CIA to back off of him. Azima's other companies called Race Air Airways, which Azima's brother owned, transported some TOW missiles to Iran in 86 that was part of the Arms for Hostages deal.
George Bush's rise to power as vice president, later president, all revolves around suppressed details of the Irangate scandal. In October 1980, on behalf of the Reagan-Bush campaign, Bush worked a secret deal in Paris with agents of the Iranian dictator, money and U.S. weapons. In return, Iran would continue to hold the 52 U.S. embassy hostages so as to screw Jimmy Carter's bid for re-election. The hostages were released January 81, a few minutes after Reagan was inaugurated. Documented data is in the book October Surprise by Barbara Honegger. Some top brass in the U.S. military were disgruntled about this treason. And the end of March 81, a military sniper was the second gunman firing a warning shot at President Reagan. As we have detailed, the press is riddled with CIA and FBI darlings who helped kill such stories, including in Chicago, Channel 2's Bill Curtis and the Chicago Tribune's Ron Koziel. Playing again, Reagan and Bush, a decade of treason, 731-1505.
This is CKLM 88.1.
KLN, RBI, and Womanly Way Productions present in concert Heather Bishop with Sherry Shute, Saturday, September 22nd at Convocation Hall.
She lies, crazy rides, and it's all done. She likes a man with a devil, he's a devil, you ain't getting.
Heather Bishop is one of Canada's foremost women artists. In concert, her political ideas mesh with her incredible musical artistry and creative energy, giving her a powerful presence on stage. Heather Bishop has a voice that is as powerful and bold as the words she sings.
I'm not the one, I'm not the one who hurt you, I wasn't there. And you would just drive me.
Heather Bishop with Sherry Shute. Saturday, September 22nd, 8 p.m., Convocation Hall, 31 King's College Circle, the University of Toronto. Tickets are $18, $16.50, and $14.50. Available at Ticketmaster, the Deck Book Room, and the Women's Common. For more information and free childcare, call 925-6568. In concert with Sherry Shute, Saturday, September 22nd, 8 p.m., Convocation Hall, from RBI, Womanly Way, and 88.1 CKLM.
We are the kind of love.
This is Mazé. I'll be your host for 1 hour of the best in contemporary music and spoken word of the indigenous peoples of Turtle Island. Tune in Tuesdays at 11 p.m. when Heart of the Earth premieres here September 18th at CKLN 88.1.
We see them feed on us. We are aware to starve the beast is our destiny.